When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Requires new line. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 40p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Control.
Escucha, baby, si solo supieras que tienes algo que me hace vibrar. Tus movimientos a mí me aceleran. Cuando empezamos, no puedo parar.
Hello and welcome to another World Cup daily episode of Soccer to the Max. This is day 7 of the World Cup. Group B play and the end of Group A as well figured out for round 2 of the group stage, and things are starting to level out. Group A has already been situated pretty much. Now it's just coming down to that final game, and Group B play got very interesting and sets up a nice battle of old foes for two teams. But, of course, I am your host here, Sean Garmer, and here with me, Mr. Eric Watkins.
I'm very thankful that when Group A comes that morning, there's only one game to focus on, but anytime you have to go into fair play points for tiebreakers in a group, Yeah,
that's mainly because all three of the games that happened ended in the same scoreline, 1-0. That's now 80% of the games in the World Cup, 1-0. So, we may not have had any 0-0 games yet, but they're just as tight with these 1-0s. So, that's a little bit misleading when we say we haven't had any 0-0 games. It still sometimes feels like some of them are. But thankfully we got, well, at least one of them wasn't necessarily that way. And then one of them was, and the other one at least got a little bit better late. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, for some of these 1-0s, everything happens like in a somewhat freakish way really early. And then for some of them, you're just waiting, and then boom. There it is.
Yep, exactly. Although for Portugal, they didn't have to wait too long. It's Morocco. Cristiano Ronaldo in the 4th minute hits that header. That was the only goal of the game. It's a nice header, though. Just diving for it.
Mm-hmm.
Although Pepe looks like he, on purpose, ran into two Moroccan players to take them out. No use of VAR, but I can totally understand why not, because that's open for interpretation, right? You could say that he accidentally wandered over there and ran into them as well.
Yeah, not everybody is going to assume that he was on a total kamikaze mission, which makes it perfect.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to, I mean, considering his reputation, you would have to put that into play, and then that's also being subjective, and that obviously it takes away the objectivity that VAR is supposed to promote. So there was another situation, I think, later in the game where there was a Moroccan player go down, but they didn't call a penalty on that either, which I thought was fine. I think for the most part, though, what I was impressed with is Morocco was going for it in this game. They were not just like a team that we'll talk about a little later. It's sitting back and, hey, come at us. We don't really plan on going anywhere, but you can keep coming. No, they were attacking. They just couldn't get by Rui Patricio, who had a couple of really nice saves, including a diving one that will probably be one of the ones people are talking about for at least this round.
Mm-hmm. And for that one, that was really the miracle save that salvaged the 3 points for Portugal, because Morocco, they knew what was in front of them. They lose, they're done. So it's like, if we're going to go out, we're going to say, hey, you can attack. We're going to attack and make you absorb a lot of pressure, too. Portugal was just up to it, and for Morocco, it was just a couple bad breaks.
No, exactly. And really, again, other than a couple of times where Ronaldo was the provider, it was really Ronaldo, the one that had a lot of the chances again, which doesn't help the, you know, main narrative for Portugal that Ronaldo is what carries his team, which, again, you're asking perhaps the best player in the world to carry his team. That's what he should do. But, man, to win a World Cup, you usually need other members of that team, aside from the goalkeeper, to performing well. And, man, this was not a game where Portugal looked too good.
No, and unfortunately, this was the main thing that everybody was talking about. Can Portugal win the World Cup the same way they won Euro 2016? I automatically knew the answer to that question was going to be no. That's still holding up. You can't play that ugly and have one great player get a couple great breaks. When so far, yes, they've won once in 90 minutes. Great. But they only won once in 90 minutes in the Euros. You're going to have to do better. Will this carry Portugal out of the group? Most likely. But are they going to go far in the knockout rounds like this? No. You're not going to put up this kind of a performance for 120 minutes and then hope and pray that you get to penalties. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? I don't think they were necessarily trying to do that, because Ronaldo was going for it, and
yeah, and
he provided some passes and everything for some of the, you know, Jose Fonte almost got one. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, I mean, they just don't go in. I don't think it was like previously where it really felt like they were holding and not going for it.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if say that you get to the point to where you know that you're not going to get many other good finishes from your other players, don't you think that all of a sudden mentality creeps back in and say, we may have to start holding. We may have to start sitting, playing deeper, and rely on Ronaldo on a good counter. That could start to sink in quicker than people realize.
Yeah. I do. I think so, but I think it's still going to be difficult to, you know, Portugal's still pretty good defensively. It's just, mm-hmm. You know, it's not necessarily the easiest thing to do. But I will say, I think, again, give Morocco a lot of credit. I know The coach was complaining about some of the fouls that weren't called, and I think he's fair in some of them, but he's probably talking about the 2 penalty decisions, and they weren't penalties. I mean, not in the way that, like, you could call it a penalty if you want, but I think if you're VAR, you have to reverse it, because they're not a, or they won't, I guess they wouldn't reverse it if you would have called it. But still, my point is that the referee decided they're not.
Yeah, well, they could have potentially, it's digging into the rules of VAR, but there would have been potential that the referees, they called a penalty. You have that stoppage in play, and VAR looks at it, and it's like, maybe this isn't.
Well, so, but it has to be clear and obvious that it's not, right? So if he calls it, it's the same thing as he decided not to call it and VAR didn't overrule. So, VAR's not overruling. He has to tell the referee to go over there. But they wouldn't have told him to go over there because it's a really subjective. It's a, what do you think? Do you think Pepe went over there and ran it to both guys on purpose? Or do you think that it was an accident? So, you know, or did you think the guy went down, which, you know, it didn't look like there was a lot of contact. So, no, I mean, it's just, that's the thing sometimes. Some of these things don't go your way, but if you're waiting, and I got to give Morocco credit. They didn't sit there and go, oh, we're just going to rely on, these two penalties, that's it. Like, they kept going for it. Amrabat and Ziyech, they were fantastic. I mean, both of them set up numerous shots for Butaib or just for Benatia. So, you know, it's, I think certainly the a lot of the attention that Morocco was getting for, obviously, some of their players are more well-known. In two games, they brought it, you know, and they were really unfortunate not to get the point against Iran and to, you know, get the own goal of anything to be what's separating them right now. But it's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. It's just unfair. It's a cruel game like anything else. And, you know, hey. Portugal has Ronaldo, and that was enough, really. And Rio Patricio, who made some impressive saves, and the defense came in to block some key shots as well from Ziyech and others. It's just, I feel bad for Morocco, but
they got beat. I do too, because of all the teams so far with no points, they've been the best one.
Oh, I agree. Yeah, I mean, Iran's just very well organized, you know, and we saw it in the Spain game, the most part of that game, like, just, that's, it's going to happen when you get a team that's okay with parking the bus, but they're very well positioned defensively, and sometimes you're going to get a set-piece goal, and even though it probably deserved more to stay 0-0, just that stuff happens. So it really stinks for Morocco to go out like that. Now let's see what kind of situation they put up against a Spain team that, you know, could be looking for, they have to actually go out and I at least get a draw, because they don't know what's going to happen in the game against Iran and Portugal, and the way that Iran organizes itself, that could be a problem, especially considering, you know, Portugal's former coach and everything is on the other side. So, but before we get into that with Iran over there, let's discuss Uruguay, who once again, they didn't wait so long, Luis Suarez. And after what I think like the 23rd minute or so, it's a set piece. The ball comes down to Suarez's foot. He hits it in and gets his first goal of the tournament. They had a few other chances. Carlos Sanchez had one that got saved. I think there weren't that many for Uruguay, honestly, this go around. But Saudi Arabia was, I don't know, they're just, they were better in this game than the Russia game, but.
Well, they had to be. You couldn't get much worse. You're asked, the heads of your team are asking the Crown Prince for forgiveness. You're going to assess the players and some sort of unknown penalty. It's like, you're already putting all kinds of fear into them, but you have to admit, you're a weak side. You're not even the powerhouse that you were in West Asia anymore. You're showing that. What more can you do?
Yeah, and I think, I know there's going to be a lot of questions, and I have a little question, too, of myself of, okay, Uruguay, what are they should be beating at least Saudi Arabia by more, but this is kind of the way Uruguay is. They go for it when they need to. They know that they have Cavani and Suarez. They had a lot more chances in the Egypt game, but that's also because Egypt was actually kind of going at them. There wasn't a whole lot here from Saudi Arabia, and Uruguay is fine with just like, all right, you don't really want to come at us, then cool. You know, we'll just sit back here.
Yeah,
we'll clear the ball. We'll, you know, do whatever we got to do.
Yeah, they were really happy playing for that 0-0. It didn't work out that way. They got that goal, but it's just like, they don't score more than they have to.
Right.
That's a mentality that's going to eventually, I think, cost them. But for right now, it's working.
Well, that's because they know if they do get a goal down, they have people that can go out there and score. Their problem is, I don't have that much confidence in the midfield as I, you know, I did when, like, Diego Forlan was out there. Or, you know, Sevilla is fine. But yeah, I haven't seen that like link up play between the midfield and the forward. It's like, okay, here comes, oh, Cavani has to come in and be provider or something like that to Suarez, and then Suarez will get the ball taken or something like that, and you know, that's a lot of their offense. You don't just see a lot of smooth like interplay between the midfield and, oh, then get it up to your two big strikers to do something. It's a lot of set pieces from Uruguay. Let's go out there and put this header in or kick it in like Suarez did. Like, at the end of the day, they got 6 points, right? But and that's what, you know, Tavares, Suarez, Cavani all talked about, that the whole goal is to qualify here to the next round. You know, that he's, you know, even Tavares brought it up that, like, does it really matter? Because there's times where we put up a 3-0, or, you know, we've seen, or we put up a lot more goals, and what did that really get us? You know, does it really matter? What matters is getting the points and moving on. And, you know, he also tried to justify that this group is harder than people expected, which, you know, Russia would tell you otherwise. But, you know, who knows if they're not playing in Russia if this is the same team, right? But, yeah, I think the game against Russia might tell you a lot about Uruguay, because if they do get down, will they be fine with just being in second place and let's move on? Or do they actually try and go out there for the win? You know, do they start everybody? You know, that's another thing. You know, they could decide to rest some people. So, because they rotated for this game.
They did. So. And I think with how things are in the standings, right now, Uruguay 6 points, but their goal difference is a +2. Right. Whereas with Russia, you got 6 points and a +7. So, is Uruguay really going to go out there and try to win the match 5-0, 6-1.
No, they don't have to win 5-0. If they win, Russia doesn't get any more points. It's only if they draw that Russia would win by the goal difference they have already.
Well, that's so true. I forgot about that. But, I mean, it. I don't know. I really don't know where Uruguay's heads are at.
I mean, Russia could decide to rest some people. Who knows? But I don't think they would. I think they want to put on a good showing for the fans.
Yeah, they want the home fans. They want to do this for Putin. They want to do this for everybody. They're going to go out and say, hey, we can squeak one more win, get 9 points. That's enough of a job done. And then anything we do in the knockout rounds is cake.
You know, but I wonder, like, I feel like Uruguay has a much better matchup for, say, a Portugal, where they're going to lock Portugal down, and Uruguay could sneak in a goal here or whatever, or, you know, they have the talent to be able to make Ronaldo's life hell.
Yeah. You know,
and then have to put it on somebody else to beat them.
Yeah, and again, that goes back to everybody is looking like in the commercial, a potential matchup, you know, Suarez versus Messi. Well, you're going to get an even better matchup, just about guaranteed. Things work out the right way. Suarez versus Ronaldo. There's a good chunk of familiarity there, too, that people are ignoring.
And the way Russia have been playing, they might be a good fit for Spain. You might have a more open game between the two.
I hope so, because Spain, I get it. You can pass. You can complete passes. But Jesus. Oh, I was dreading this. You said it wouldn't happen. Sean, I think you're a liar.
No, they're not playing with a false nine because Costa's out there being in
but
front. They just
feels like it. Yes.
It's not their fault that Iran parked the bus. They scored 3 goals in the first game.
Oh, yes, which is, I figure, okay, it's one thing, but it's like, my God, tiki-taka, tiki-taka, and if I heard one more time, 400 passes, 500 passes, 600 passes. I'm like, no, I'm going to pass the back of my hand upside your face.
Well,
Jesus.
I think it's just Spain doesn't understand that sometimes with Iran, with a team like Iran, they're so defensive. Go route one. You got Diego Costa there. He's big, strong. Like, just go route one and freaking have him be the target man. And then have your midfielders go around him to create more attacking possibilities. If you're just trying to pass through a team that's locked down like that, it's going to be so difficult. So,
yes. Oh, I was so annoyed at that match because Spain, they could have done better. I mean, yes, with Diego Costa, hell, you even have, like, good opportunities with Isco. Free him up with a couple good chances. You see what he can do, but... Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, Costa gets his third goal. Takes... Mm-hmm. You know, doesn't take too long into the second half to get it. Almost looked like it was an own goal again. I mean, own goal's already winning the Golden Boot by now, so... you know... but it happened, I think, go off Costa's leg finally, so they gave it to him. But no, Iran, honestly, for number one, who let all the people buy vuvuzelas? Why are we having vuvuzelas on TV again? I thought we need to be outlawing them. They're so annoying.
I didn't want to say anything, but when I heard it those first couple of times, I'm like, they're back.
Come on, people. Like, jeez. So I can't imagine what it's like people in the stadium. That you got to be wearing some massive earplugs.
Yeah, because it easily, I think when they measured in South Africa, what was it, 110, 120 decibels? So in Russia, you're coming close.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you got to give credit to Iran for understanding who they are, right? And not trying to, like, go out there and go, all right, let's beat Morocco, and we're not Morocco. I mean, they have some talented forwards, you know, and they had to hold off on Jahanbakhsh because of the injury from the first game. So, you know, he put him in as a super sub.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, and there was times where, the other guy, why can't I think of his name right now? The Iman? What's his name? The main...
I'm going to confirm this.
Osmoon, sorry.
Okay.
So, like, Osmoon would get the ball, and he couldn't control it. And it's like, you just cost your team... Because you couldn't control the pass and Spain was able to take it. But, no, I mean, they defended. And then in the second half, after the goal was scored, they went out there and they went for it. They scored a goal, but it was offside.
Yeah. So, everybody's like, hey, they're celebrating. Hey, we've done this, we've done that. And then all of a sudden, hey, there's a check. Hey, it's 1-0. Hey, what just happened?
Yep. It's like the whole time the referee's got his hand up, like, wait, nope. And it's like, oh, man, that sucks. Like, I wanted him to tie it up just for, you know, because it would have made Spain have to really go for it in that game against Morocco to get, you know, 5 points. Iran would have got a fourth point, which, you know, would have made things interesting against Portugal as well, because then Portugal would have for sure had to go for it and not just settle for things. But yeah, now Portugal could technically just go for the draw against Iran and they're through. But now Iran has to go for it more because they only have 3 points. They have to go out there and get the win. And that's going to be really interesting if things actually work out the way that I had predicted with Iran getting 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
Because they upset Portugal at the end. Man, I actually would get one right for once with these things. But no, they show that they're capable too of coming out there when needed and going for it. And they really put Spain under pressure there at times in that second half. And I mean, again, they scored and it didn't work out for them. He was clearly offside when he touched the ball and everything, but it's just, man, Spain were able to luck out. That's what this felt like for me. I felt like Spain lucked out on this one. They got the goal from Costa and were able to defend well enough to get through and escape with 3 points.
Yeah, escape is right. And this is so far one of the more chaotic groups going into that final day. But for Spain, it's like, hey, we're better than we were in 2014. We're not at where we were in 2010. But we're on the rebound, and that's what matters.
Yeah, I mean, I thought David Silva was one of the standouts in the game, too. He had a couple of almosts and everything else. But, I mean, for the most part, Iniesta also looked really good. He's the one that kind of set up the goal for Costa. That I was like, he was so deep. He went all the way through, gave the pass to Costa, and then Costa didn't even shoot.
Nope.
And it went in anyway, but like, is this? That's kind of what happens at times when you're a Spain. You have so much talent that you can make it work. And I think that's what I've really enjoyed about this World Cup is, yes, we've had a lot of 1-0s, and some of them haven't been, you know, pretty. Some of these games today weren't like that, but I think it shows how much more even a lot of international soccer has become. It's not the big teams coming out there and just destroying fools. And you're going, God, maybe we need to lower the amount of teams in the World Cup, not, you know, heighten the amount of teams. And as, maybe they're not all these games aren't sexy, but I think it is sort of leaning towards maybe this 48 team thing won't be so bad.
No, because everybody knocked on UEFA for expanding the Euros from 16 to 24. But look at a lot of the games that you had. Look at the performance from Wales, Northern Ireland, Albania,
Iceland.
Exactly, Iceland. So it's just like everybody's thinking, oh, well, you've got these teams just to fill out the numbers. And I'm like, no. With the kind of parity that you have going on in a lot of these groups and qualification, you're creating an even better tournament. And now that more nations are going towards creating like these nation leagues, imagine what that's going to do when you get to the 48-team World Cup.
Yeah, they're going to have experience of really doing well and being in competitive games. Obviously, they're going to miss out on playing some of these better teams that you would in friendlies, but that's the sacrifice you have to make. Looking ahead, though, to we got three potentially really good games. Because, I mean, when we saw these games yesterday, we were like, ooh, man, these could all be kind of stinkers. You know, one of them turned out not to be, but for the most part, they held serve. These three that are coming up, these look like they could be extremely pretty good. Australia, they gave France a game. And with Denmark, if they play, I mean, now obviously I think they're going to play a bit more attacking because they're going to have the ball against Australia. I think we do see Tim Cahill, and I think Australia also makes it a game, just like they did against France. We'll see how long it holds, though. Denmark obviously want to wrap things up, get the 6 points before they have to play France. On the other hand, though, the way Peru plays, I think they're going to give France fits. That's going to be such a fun game to watch. France better be on, because they play like a bunch of individuals again. Watch out. That could be dangerous.
That could be extremely dangerous because, and I've said this in other situations, don't face a team that's angry. And I think after Peru's opening performance, they're a little bit angry. And taking it out on top competition, one of those borderline second tier favorites, yeah, they're going to want to prove a major point.
Yeah, and you got Paulo Guerrero, who's going to be starting probably now, so you're going to have to deal with him from the start. And that's going to be a big problem for France. I think, you know, again, I think it all comes down to how France play. If they play more cohesive and more flowing, could be a very entertaining game. And also Argentina-Croatia as well. That's going to be really good because Argentina has to go for it here. They cannot. I mean, they could technically go for another draw and then try to get 5 points, you know, try to get the 3 points against Nigeria. But, I mean, depending on what happens in the game, you know, between Iceland and Nigeria, let's say Iceland wins, you know, hey, that's something you got to pay attention to after that, you know, because,
yeah,
I mean, Iceland beats Croatia, you could be out. So,
and already you've got Neymar with a little bit of an injury scare, but he's back. Ronaldo's already bagged 4. So far, the only thing that Messi is known for is a penalty miss.
No, I definitely think he's going to come at it in this game. Yeah, and
what I'm saying, he has to. Guys like even Higuain, if he's featured more, he has to. Kun Aguero, he's got to at least duplicate what he was able to do against Iceland. this is a team to where the pressure is all of a sudden mounting hard.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I think definitely you need to... I like that he's already saying he's making changes. He's, you know, probably going to start Pavon. Might start, you know, Higuain. But honestly, for me, start the young guy. Start the 21-year-old. Like, I think he could provide a nice, like, young exuberance. He's going to have no fear. He's going to want to take it at some of these guys. Because remember, Argentina might not have as much possession as they're used to, because Croatia is such a possession-heavy team with all those wonderful midfielders that they have. So maybe that works out better in Argentina's favor, but I think things aren't going to be so shut down for Messi as they were against Iceland. There's going to be a lot more for him here, so this could be another entertaining game to watch. Like, we could see a couple of goals here and both teams going at it. So I'm excited for that one. Again, France and Peru could be pretty good. Denmark, Australia, I think, depends on if we get the Australia to face France. I mean, that could be really good too. So tomorrow is, or well, I guess later today, is a one that you don't want to miss. You don't want to miss either three of the games. Get up early. And, you know, if you got to work, I think you're going to have that phone on or that computer on the whole time, because
listen on your commute. Go ahead, camp out, have breakfast.
Yeah, for sure. So use any excuse you can. Take an early lunch, whatever, to watch something. Because I don't think you're going to want to miss either three of these. Or, of course, you know, just watch it when you get home if you try not to be spoiled, because I know that's hard sometimes with, I mean, some of the people that I would never think are watching the games, I'll walk by and they're watching them. You know, they're trying to find a way to hide the phone or whatever. Luckily for us, the office that we're in, they don't have cameras in there. So I can kind of just sit in there when I can and do it. It makes you feel weird. Like, and a job like mine where you got to be up and doing stuff, it does make you feel weird to sit there, and even though it's the World Cup, you're going, ah, man, I don't think I can sit here for 90 minutes and someone's not going to notice I've been sitting down the whole time. So, but yeah, I mean, I think that's, again, make sure you check out one of these, because it's probably going to be one of the better ones of this round for sure. And I think that does it until tomorrow. With more World Cup Daily. We will see you later. Make sure that if you like what you heard, subscribe, Soccer to the Max. You get every World Cup Daily show. And then beyond that, when we go back to doing our regular shows that sort of focus more on the American soccer side of things. But let us know, you know, also if you enjoy what you hear, with a comment on YouTube or iTunes review or anything like that. Anything would help us be able to be heard by many more folks. But for Eric and myself, maybe Rachel will be back tomorrow. We will see you guys later.
Peace.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Requires new line. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 480p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.